That's good. Before I bring the message, I just felt we need to do something, and it's something that happened to me this morning. And, you know, if you want a prophet's reward, you need to start opening up your heart to what the prophetic needs to do in your heart. And the Lord took me into heaven, if I may say it like that. And the way he took me in, I read Revelation again. And I saw heaven, and I saw the thrones, and I saw the elders there, and I saw this beautiful, the beautiful colors. And it says there, it's like emerald sea. And, you know, my mind just went in. I'm a picture person. And my mind just went in there. And you know what I felt? I just sensed this amazing grace just coming and just flowing straight from the throne room of God. So even before I preach, just where you are right now, even in the story, you've got a picture in your mind. Enter into the picture that's in your mind and just still your heart before him and let his grace just flow. Just a minute or two, just close your eyes. Just enter into that vision of heaven. And all the elders are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come." Wow. Wow. There's a change in the atmosphere. I'm so glad there's a change in the atmosphere, because Steve gave about 2 months ago, he asked me to start preparing on Romans 14. And the whole thing about Romans 14, by the way, the slides are not on. I haven't got teenagers at home. I tried to download them. It didn't work so well. So we just got to... You just got to bear with me. Yeah, we got to use the Bibles this morning. Now, I'm going to use two Bibles. I'm going to use the Message Bible and the ESV. And I'm going to use the Message Bible because the guy who translated it from the early texts and all that sort of thing. He did his hermeneutics very well. And I believe he's put it into a language that we can understand and that we can make have part of us. But coming back to Steve, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, and James as well, because they don't realize what they did in the last 2 months. And Steve doesn't realize what he did when he asked me to minister on Romans 14. I have been tested in every relationship that I have around me over the last 2 months or so. I'm praying that after I preach this, that I'm going to walk in what God has put into my heart. So part of my testimony is God dealing with me regarding judging other people. The title of my message here is Cultivating Good Relationships. And when you go into Romans 14, it starts off us not judging. And guys, I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes you see something wrong. Oh, why is this guy doing this? And why is that guy doing that? And I lost the plot. You can ask Steve. I had to confess in front of him and somebody else and everything. I had to go and just say, ask for forgiveness, because I lost the plot. You know, here I thought, oh, well, I used to preach, man. You know, there's always some guy that will touch something in your heart and everything, the wheels will come off. Well, somebody did touch things in my heart. And it wasn't them, it was in me. You know, and it's so easy to judge, isn't it? And as Christians, we've got all these things. I heard here this morning about religion. We don't realize the power of religion in our lives and how much we need to allow God to get rid of that religion. And that's why you need to go to the throne room daily and allow the Holy Spirit and to allow his flow to come into that river we heard about, that dry river, and to fill it up with his presence, to fill it up with him and him alone. Our problem is we judge everybody according to our own standards, and we become the legalists who even crucified Jesus. And if Jesus had to come in here now, we'd have something to say as well. And I believe, sorry, I don't want to come over hard, but I believe the time for the church judging each other and judging the elders and judging this and judging that needs to come to an end. Because part of the problem of us not flowing in all that God has, if I may say so, if you've got a judgmental spirit and you're continually moving into a judgmental spirit, saying, this is this, this is this, this is, even as far as ISIS sitting up in the Middle East right now, if you start judging them, no ways will you reach the Muslims, because you'll have something in your heart that's going to stop you, and it's a judgmental spirit. And I heard of those guys in Kazakhstan, seven nations that don't know, Muslim nations. Guys, I guarantee, and I can put it in writing, that their hearts are right. They're not judging them, they're loving them. Judgment is God's prerogative, not your prerogative. He hasn't called you to judge, he's called you to love. And this church is getting ready for revival, guys. You better claim your seat now. One of these days, there's going to be so many people in here, there won't be room for you. Except on the floor or on the stage. We can nick Steve's chair. Huh? But you hear where I'm going on it? And you know, there's just so much here in the Word when it comes to... Let me start off reading in the beginning. I haven't got all my things that I thought I'd have. 14 out the Message Bible, Cultivating Good Relationships. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers. Welcome. Welcome. It's not only the guys at the door there. Welcome everybody when you come here. Welcome people when you go to your life group. If you're not in a life group, get into a life group where you can be the person God wants you to be, where iron will sharpen iron, and you'll get to know people and get to know, and build up proper relationships. You know, when you build up a relationship, then you can earn the right to speak into somebody's life. We can't just go up to somebody and say, come on, do this, do that. They've got to see it in your life. You know, in Ezekiel 14, it warns us, if you come to the prophet with a multitude of idols in your heart, God will answer you according to the multitude of idols. And what I see in that is that if we come with bad attitudes, if we come with a judgmental attitude towards people, God will answer us according to that. And then we wonder why, oh Lord, everything's going wrong. I'm a grace guy, everything's going well. If you're a grace guy, there's no judgment in grace. You have your sins have been forgiven. They are no more. They forbay. It's finished and clear, as they say. Hey? Sin does have no right over you whatsoever. So we need to walk in the goodness and the grace that God has given us. Moment by moment, even when your mother-in-law irritates you, if you can love and not judge your mother-in-law, guys, come along. You're going to get a certificate, a special medal in heaven. How's that? I saw one or two amens there, but... But you hear where I'm going with this? And I haven't even started yet, and Steve's given me 30 minutes times three. Where are we? Wow, boy, boy. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Don't jump all over them every time they do and say anything you don't agree with. Come on, guys. I'm guilty, eh? I'm guilty. And I know you're not guilty, but I've been guilty of that. But I'm repenting of that. Daily, I'm watching my attitude. It's all an attitude thing. Daily, I'm submitting my attitude to the King of Kings. And the more I look into the heavenlies, the more I look into the throne room, the more I see Him and know Him and experience it and experience this amazing grace, the more I want to just express it to other people. And you see, if we're going to express it to other people here, guess what we're going to do when we go out that door? We're going to be a mighty expression of God's goodness. Sure, we come in here, we celebrate, and we roll around, we do all that. But it's out there where the tire bites the tar. The world is crying out for peace. There's peace only in one place. We know that. But you see, your peace is effective if you have a judgmental attitude. Now, Paul put this in. Paul started right in Corinthians before Romans. About a year before Romans, he had a problem in the church. He had to deal with problems in the church. You know, you can't eat meat, sacrifice to idols. And I've heard argument and strategies over that, over the years in the ministry and the years everywhere, people always arguing about that. But you know what Paul was saying? He said, come on, guys, get your act together. These are not important things. Hey? How we argue? Let's take a little holy cow in the church. Music? Music? Must I bring music up? That's not Christian, brother. I don't listen to that, Dixie. Huh? Eh? Come. Gee whiz. Who invented music in the first place? And then we get all uptight. Sure, if it's heavy demonic stuff. But if you love God, that's not going to affect you. You don't need to put yourself under a heavy. You hear what I'm saying? But don't judge the other guy who's doing it. You see, if you believe something is wrong, you've got to make sure that your heart, if I may say it like that, is right before God. And grace makes that way. That's how I see it, guys. Grace makes that way. In grace, there's no judging everybody. You know, Steve and also James brought such good words. And I'm losing myself here like anything. Over Romans 12. And in the Message Bible, Romans says, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Guys, that's our task. That's a radical middle we need to grab hold of. That's a radicalness of our life that needs to be there. Hey? If you got it in you, get along with everybody. That's everybody here and everybody outside there. Amen? That's what we got to do. Smile on your dial. And you know, I've said it so many times before, don't walk around as if you've been baptized in lemon juice. Nobody wants that. I remember when I was in Melmoth, when I was running the church there, my late wife used to come back home, and she didn't like coming back home because she'd find Bill Brain walking around the house with his own black cloud with the lightnings and the thunderings with an attitude that's crook for nix. Hey? And she said something to me, and you know us men, you know, we don't take that sort of thing very well from our wives. We make a judgment call there too. It says, what are you going to do by worrying about this and that? How are you going to change everything? And I knew when she'd spoken that, that was directly from the throne room of God. There's nothing you can do that's going to change anything around you. Just come to peace and come to rest with the Lord. And he's the one who's going to make the difference. But what I wanted to bring out in that one, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you. In other words, judgment is not your prerogative. That's God's business. I said that in the beginning, and you mustn't forget that. I will do the judging, says God. I will take care of it. What did Jesus say to those disciples that came up to him and said, hey, that church down there, man, they're casting out demons in your name, they're healing in your name, they're doing this, and those guys are doing that. He said, what's that to you? You come follow me. And you know, even here, with your brothers and sisters, guys, listen to me. Don't look at a brother and sister doing something good, and because you're not doing, getting all jealous and then judging them. Because there's no ways, we heard here about that river. There's no ways that river can flow and flow if that is in your heart. And please, it's not a heavy. If you've received the grace message, just flow with that. He has set you free from all the strife. He set you free from holding on to that because he's judged the world already. It's been done. The work has been done. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to worry about anything. Just trust what God is doing in our midst. God has given us an eldership here. God has given us a leadership in the church. Trust what God is doing. Continually pray for the church. Continually pray for what needs to be happening here. Don't make a judgment call. If you've got a problem with anybody, as I say in Africa every time, just report them to headquarters. Headquarters know how to deal with them. Get on with the job is what we got to do. Get on and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us and to touch the lives of all the other people around us. That's what we're called to do. The radical middle all the time. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about them. It's about you. What do you want me to do? And when you've got his heart, you've got the answer, and you've got his heart as you enter in, as you use your imagination, enter into the heavenlies. The heavenlies are the reality of where you and I are going to be living not very far in the future. So rather concentrate on those things that are going to build you up, that you might be able to build others up. And that will stop you judging, I think, I believe. Grace does not judge, I put here. Don't judge what people say and do. Believe what God says and does. Okay? Walk in your new spirit. Now, I'm not going to read those scriptures. Ephesians 4:23, that's your homework. And put on the new self, Ephesians 4:24. Continually, daily, dress yourself in this new suit that God has given you, the suit of grace. And guys, if you dress in that suit of grace daily, God will take care of everything. I'm going through a very emotional time, and no other way to call it. My daughter's going through a divorce. Anne and I were with them. We left there on Thursday as well. And, you know, I sit there, and I want to make a judgment call over my daughter, and I want to make a judgment call over my son-in-law. But now I've come here to preach this to you. And you can ask Anne. We've just had to watch our hearts and just be that blessing and just trust God for that wisdom. You know, when you don't judge, the wisdom of God flows. I'm telling you now. Do you want healing in your life? Stop judging. Stop looking at the circumstances. Remember what I said, God will answer you according to that. And we don't want that. We want the peace and joy. What does it say about the kingdom? And that's very important here. We need to read that as well before we leave here today. Going out the Message Bible, I'm reading it. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. Now, they were talking about food. And there's a long story. I could have gone into that, but let's just look at this at the moment. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. For goodness sake, it's what God does with your life and sets it right, puts it together and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. There we come to that radical middle again. Single-mindedly serve Christ. Single-mindedly enter into that grace. Hey? Putting the judgment aside, leaving that to God, but loving your brother, getting alongside your brother. Instead of moaning, pardon? Was it good? Oh, thank you so much. That makes me feel so good. No, serious. It does. Serious. Hey? And that's what it's all about. Hey? And he completes it with joy. I remember, and I might have mentioned that before, about 30 years ago, and I'm really giving my age away, at a Rhema conference in Johannesburg. A man got up there and prophesied, and he prophesied over the end time revival that South Africa or Africa is going to see. And I believe it's here. That's my personal conviction on some of the things that I've seen. And he said there's going to be two waves that are going to spill over Africa, and I'm seeing them. One is holiness unto the Lord, the grace message. Hey? We don't have to do a thing. He is our holiness. He is all that we need. And the other thing is a river of joy. Joy is going to make a difference. Joy is going to make a difference. And the people out there need that joy. Boy, like never before do they need joy. When you speak to people out in the world, whoa, have you heard what's happened? I went to go and get my eye sorted out on Friday, and so I couldn't go and see Steve with a laser and everything. And the doctor was saying, oh, have you heard about Ebola? I thought he was saying Lebola, and I said, no, I paid Lebola. You know, Ebola, everybody's panicking. Everybody's panicking. Guys, if you start panicking about that, pass up, as they say in the classics. It's not about Ebola, it's about him. He is our protector. We don't have to give in to the fear of other people. And as I said to this guy, I said, there is a better way. We don't have to worry about this. But oh, this and this. Yeah, you can work out all sorts of things and all sorts of problems if you want to. But that's not where the issue is. And we've got to live that out. That's finding the radical middle. Do that and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. Proving your worth to the people around you. Guys, now let's just take that as an example. If you and I today decide, and come on, let's be real. Don't look at me in those religious with those religious faces right now. There's somebody you've judged. It's in our nature somehow to do it. Amen? Thank you. I got a bit worried there. It's like Steve says sometimes here. Say, hey, nobody listening. Thanks. Yeah? Just think of somebody right now and make a conscious effort, first of all, in your heart to come to rest and peace. Because if you're not at rest and peace, what are they going to get? They're going to get the chachas. And we're not about sharing chachas. We're about sharing blessings. We're about sharing the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. A powerful kingdom. A kingdom ruled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over us right now. And he's moving upon us right now. And he's moving in our hearts now. And he will continue with this flow of revival. That river is flowing, people. Jump into that river. Jump into that river. Don't stop going to that river. Daily go to that river. So, oh, I haven't got time. Well, stop confessing you haven't got time and jolly well find some and get into that river. Hey? No more excuses, guys. We cannot make excuses. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize in the world now something big is happening. This is the most exciting time that we are living right now. And if you really want to test your faith, go and meet up with the Isis Oaks and go and share the gospel with him, with them. Well, I haven't got that. My faith is not there yet, but your faith might be there. You hear where I'm going? Getting your attitude right. Looking. There is a story behind it. Anne and I have been studying a lot of behind what is happening to this thing. We picked up a book which I like to recommend to you, The Sword of Allah. We'll give you an insight of what is happening there. Then you will see, and then you will have compassion. Because these people, you know, where Jesus said, Lord, forgive them for they don't know what they are doing. And that's got to be our attitude all the time. Not giving into the fear, but giving into the answer. Not giving into the fear, but giving into the answer. We say we have the answer. Well, let's walk the answer. Let's talk the answer. And let's declare the answer. Over my little granddaughter, for 3 days, Anne and I are very brave. Lots of faith. We took little Jessica with us into the Kruger National Park. And she wanted to see hyenas. I don't know how you say them in Chinese. Hyena or something like that. All she wanted to see was hyenas. And you know, and we saw a hyena, didn't we? The last morning, yeah. The last night with her, I just laid my hand upon her and declared God's goodness and God's greatness and God's prosperity and God's healing and God's protection over them. She was asleep, but I was declaring it. I know that went into the spirit. I know God's going to do it because I checked my heart. I couldn't do it if I had an attitude towards my daughter and an attitude towards my son-in-law. Amen? You hear what I'm trying to say here? And if I read the message here and I read what's been said here, this is basically what we need to be dealing with. Because, you know, he talks about the kingdom here. Let me go into the anointed Bible. The other one was doubly anointed, I'm sorry. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. He was trying to get our attention there. But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Finding that radical middle. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. We want to be accepted by God and approved by men. Okay? According to this. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Peace and mutual upbuilding. We need to be building each other up more and more and more every day. And this is how we do it. Going alongside. If you see a brother with problem, you who have strong faith, go to the brother with weak faith. If you discern that, don't say it to him. Put your arm around him and get there to help him. There's a road to walk here. And I believe as we do it here, it'll flow out of that door. And I remember the vision I had when Joshua Mills was here of the gold finger pointing at this church. And the gold just spreading and spreading out up the coast, right into Africa, all over the show. And it can only flow where there's no judgment. Amen. It'll flow and it will touch lives. And we have a way of doing it. So let us agree to use all our energy and getting along with each other. That's 19 in the Message Bible. Let us agree. Let us agree. Let us stand in agreement and realize, here we are. Jesus. I've got a word for you guys. Let me give it to you before I finish here. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You certainly are not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work. Haven't you seen in the church when it comes to food, how everybody argues about food? Look at all the cultures over here. Okay, you go and serve, I don't eat that. I haven't got the. Come on, guys, we need to get over that stuff. That's not important. That's not important. We need to get to the important stuff. You know, it's like the music story. And we can go, I could bring others, but we haven't got time to go into that. I said it before and I say it again, all food is good, but if it can turn bad, if you use it badly, if you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. Guys, that's not what we're here for. I hope you grasp that message. I mean, you can apply that to so many things in your lives. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to read a scripture out of Ephesians, and I've only got about 5 minutes left. Is that right? I've got 5 minutes left, but just to give you a little story. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, I've gone back to university and been studying that and looking at 1 and 2 and seeing, especially Ephesians 1, as he was giving regulations, he was giving advice how to deal with problems in the church. That was his first thing. And then also was over his ministers in 1 Corinthians 2. But then he came about a year after that and he wrote Romans. And you see this progression going through. And about 4 years after Romans, he wrote Ephesians. And you see the Spirit coming through. Even Jesus, he picks up the heart of Jesus as well. Jesus said, don't judge. Take the log out of your own eye. And you know, I've always been tempted to try and get a big log and to come in here with a log